So today is Mission Sunday, and for many of you, you are not familiar with Mission Sunday because it's been a long time since we've had one. What we have done in the past few years is we devote one Sunday every 3 months to focus on the missionaries that we support through our church. Last Sunday, we heard a report from Mongolia, and that is missionaries that the Japanese service and we support through our giving. But there is another missionary family that we as an English congregation support specifically. We'll hear a report from that. Now, typically, what we do is we've heard from Cambodia, Guatemala, and Africa. And Guatemala is an orphanage. There's an orphanage in Guatemala that we support through Makiko, Fernando's wife. And in January of this year, there were many problems that happened in the orphanage. It faced a possibility of being closed down. In fact, it is closed down temporarily right now, and there are many illegal things that are happening. So we have put a pause on Mission Sunday, mainly because we are not sure about the money that is being sent to Guatemala. Makiko is still working in communication with what's going on in Guatemala. And so for now, we are not sending money there. And then also, the report that we hear about Africa is through our friend Emma Trail. She is a staff member of International Food for the Hungry. And unfortunately, today they are having an event raising funds for that charity. So she was unable to join us today. So today, we'll have a shortened Mission Sunday, hearing a report only from Cambodia. So this may be the first time for many of you, and that's fine, but we'll hopefully pick it up once more regularly in 2015. So today will be the last Mission Sunday for the year, which is only our second one. So with lots of joy and great anticipation from me, I want to just share with you a small report from Cambodia. This is from Daryl and Kyle Record. There's Daryl, the husband, Kyle, the wife, and she's from Hiroshima. And they have a son, Benjamin, who is in kindergarten now. Daryl's ministry is various. One in particular is that he loves to make videos, evangelistic videos, in the Khmer language, dealing with apologetics, which is the form of explaining Christianity through reason and logic. And he likes to edit videos, put them together, and distribute them through the internet, through CD, DVD, MP4, MP3 formats, whatever, what have you, throughout Cambodia. One video I want to show you is just a video, not for Cambodia, but for one of the churches that supports him, in La Mirada, California. In this church, Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, they had a Missions Sunday as well. And Daryl made a special video for them. And I thought it would be of great benefit for us to watch it together. And then following that, I'll give a brief just report on how they're doing. So, Takako, are we ready with the video?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given
unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all of the things whatsoever I have commanded you.
If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been commissioned. The Great Commission is not limited only for missionaries or only for missionaries and pastors or perhaps at special mission services. The Great Commission is not a spectator sport, an event, or optional extra credit. The Great Commission is a privilege for every believer, every day, everywhere.
The Great Commission is the reason why the church exists today, despite persecution. Have you ever thought about how many Christians were persecuted, imprisoned, or martyred so that we could hear the gospel? What if they weren't faithful? Would we have been able to hear the gospel?
Christians may well be the most persecuted religious group on the planet. They number some 2.2 billion people, and harassment can range from loss of life to loss of livelihood.
And he said, I will be with you. As you go to proclaim God's love to a needy world, the Lord is with you and backing you up with all of the power that exists in the universe. Oh, what power is ours as we go out to proclaim the risen Savior to the lost world.
So all of his videos, yeah. So anyways, this was from a webpage that he has made called internationalfishers.com. And basically, it's a page where he has uploaded all of his videos that he has edited, as well as radio programs. Most of those radio programs are not in English. They are in the Khmer language, the language of Cambodia. They have languages in English, Japanese, and in Khmer. And then I think Fernando is working with them to make one in Spanish as well, just to translate all of those videos. So there is a report on the inside of your bulletin, and I don't need to reiterate what you can read on your own. However, there is one thing I would like to emphasize as you remember them. Also, that we today, our offering, as we do with every Mission Sunday, will be completely dedicated to the mission in Cambodia. So whatever you offer today does not go into the church's pocket or Hiroshi's bank account or mine. It all goes to the missions work that Daryl and Kyle and Benjamin are doing in Cambodia. Now, the main report is on the right side of the bulletin, but there is something I would like to highlight here inside your bulletin. The second paragraph of the special request. From the beginning of 2013 until now, the value of the Japanese yen has been falling. Now it has fallen to 112, which is even lower than it was in 2007. Between 2007 until now, our expenses have increased mainly because our family now has three members: insurance, transportation, educational expenses. By moving to our house, we have been able to save $150 a month in rent and Benjamin's school transportation fees. We have made some other steps to save money as well. However, our best efforts have not been able to offset the increases in other expenses, especially combined with a 30% drop in the value of donations from Japan over the last 22 months. The Japanese Christians have been giving more than ever, but it is difficult to overcome the exchange rate loss, at least in the short term. Now, in the many years that I have known Daryl, and over the many reports that he has submitted regarding his missions and the work that they're doing there, this is the first time he's ever mentioned money. Ever. So I think it's pretty serious. So I just would like to bring that before you as you give today. Forgive me if this is the first time for you to hear it. We do post this announcement on Facebook, and I posted earlier this week that this Sunday would be Mission Sunday. If you want to keep in the loop, so to speak, please join us on the Facebook page, Itaki Green Chapel. It's a private page, not a public page. So you need to be accepted as a member, and I'm the one who lets you in. I'm the gatekeeper. So pretty much you're in. So we'll be taking the offering at the end of our service. It's okay, don't worry about it. I love the sound of babies, even shouting, crying. I don't even care. I'm glad we don't have a mama's room here in this one, because I love everybody, y'all, in one room. So go ahead, shout to the glory of the Lord. I don't mind. Okay, so I would like you now to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. And while you're turning there, just a quick announcement. Book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 7. Today, I'll preach part one of a two-part series, Team Ministry. We're at the end of Colossians, and then in 2 weeks, Adam will be doing the overview sermon of Colossians, and then after that, we'll have a message from Billy. But it works out great, so I'll be finishing up the book itself, and then Adam will be giving us an overview, then Billy will give us a special sermon, and then December is here, and we'll be in Advent season. So, praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through, well, I think I have through 11, but today we'll have time to preach through verse 9. But it doesn't matter. It's good to read the scriptures together. So join me as we read verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. Let's read. Hold on. This the pronunciation of that name is Tychicus. Tychicus, okay? I know some of you read it as Tychicus, others Tychicus. Let's decide today it's called Tychicus, okay? Okay, here we go. Let's read. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Let's continue. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas.
You have
received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. The very words of God. Amen. Our subject today and this next week is on team ministry. What you can see here is a sort of group photograph. Our letter that we have been studying this whole year, the book of Colossians, is written by Paul. However, Paul didn't literally write it. He actually had someone write it for him as he dictated it to him. And this was while he was in a prison, a Roman prison, where he was not by himself, but he was with many, not many, but not a few, who assisted him, cared for him, prayed with him, spent time with him, comforted him, and reported to him. And what Paul is saying is, it's not all about me. It's about Jesus, him doing the work through me, but through our people. And what he's giving us here is, I've written you this letter. But you know when you receive an email? When you receive an email, sometimes it's accompanied by a picture. And in the picture, you get an image of whatever is being written in the email. Same here with Paul. Paul has given us a letter, but now he's saying, okay, everybody gather around, and get inside of the picture. And he's giving us a picture of everybody who's with him. And it is, it's a wonderful picture. I know, but this looks like to you is maybe just a list of names, hard to pronounce, ancient sounding, and it's like, who are these people? But God put them in His Word. And He left them there for us to dig and to search and to study and to learn and to grow and be encouraged. And today I'm going to give you two names, Tychicus and Onesimus, to understand them, to learn them, and to see that God, it's not just about truth and images and ideas and religious thoughts. It's about people. God changing the hearts and the lives and using people to accomplish His work and His glory. Amen. So Paul, he's in prison. Now let's get the image. Under house arrest. He's writing a letter to a church in Colossae. He's never been there. He's been given a report by a man named Epaphras, who is the pastor of the church in Colossae. And one of the people with Paul knows Epaphras. He's been there because he's from there. He knows him because he's from there. His name is Tychicus. Tychicus is from the region where Colossae is, and it's called Asia. in your Bible. Does not mean he's Japanese or Chinese. He's actually from southwestern Turkey. But the region in the biblical time is called Asia. So here's what happened. Paul goes on a missionary journey with his friend Barnabas. And he's traveling and he's sharing the gospel, preaching Christ and building the church. And he realizes he's meeting wealthy, rich Grecians and Jews from abroad. And he sees and he thinks about the church in Jerusalem. They're very poor. They have many needs. They're under persecution. There's lots of pressure. They don't have resources. So Paul says, I got it. Let's collect some money from the rich Christians throughout Greece, throughout Rome, and let's bring it home to Jerusalem. And he says, this is what I want to do. I want to bring some money to our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And Tychicus, who was converted in one of those churches, says, Paul, I want to go with you. Count me in. I'll help you collect the money and I'll help you bring it to Jerusalem. So on Paul's first journey, he goes out and he comes back. And now Tychicus has been alongside of him. Now Paul, if you read in the book of Acts, this is not, you know, get on the Shinkansen, go to a city, preach, get on the Shinkansen, go to a city, preach, you know, walk to this. There's beatings. There's riots. There's shipwrecks. There's storms. And just traveling from one place to another, there's mountains and there's valleys and there's bandits and there's all kinds of craziness. This is no cakewalk. But this is an adventure, and Tychicus wants to be with Paul step by step along the way. And so Paul is accompanied by Tychicus throughout his journeys. Paul goes to Jerusalem, meets with the church there, shares it, gets arrested, is put in jail. He appeals to higher authorities every single time, and so now they're going to send him to Rome. He's on ships, he's on donkeys, he's on horses, and every bit of the way, from Asia to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Rome, Tychicus is right by Paul's side. You know what? Paul is a prisoner. Tychicus, he's a free man. Tychicus gives up his freedom to be a prisoner alongside of Paul. Okay? So here's what Paul calls him. He says, look, he is a dear brother, a faithful minister. Minister, the word there is diakonos. It means servant. It means servant. So a minister is someone who serves. And he says, though this man is free, his name is Tychicus, he makes himself a fellow servant with me. But then here's an awesome word. A servant in the Lord. So the word minister and the word servant, they're different words. You need to, I don't know if you have an application or app, you can highlight the thing or you can underline it if it's your paper Bible. Those are two different words. He's a minister. He's serving with Paul. He's actually serving Paul's needs, but he's a servant of the Lord. And the second word servant is slave, bond servant. So what he's saying here, this man Tychicus serves me. He's a servant to me, but he's a slave to Christ. Though he is free, he is a slave. I want to ask some of us here, are there any slaves to Christ here? And the truth is, you're either a slave to one or you're a slave to another. Paul says in another letter to Rome, he says, look, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. Pick one. And here's the man Tychicus. He says, I'm going to be a slave to righteousness. Because we're all a slave to something. We all think we're free. But in fact, we're a slave to our flesh. We're a slave to sin. Jesus says in John chapter 8, any man who sins is a slave to sin. But here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He gives hope. And he gives a way out. And so he says, look, if you follow me, John chapter 8, verse 32, and you learn from me, and you obey my teachings, like a servant, a slave, you will know the truth. And what's that going to do? The truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, this is Jesus' words, you will be really free. And Paul says it later in Galatians chapter 5. My friends, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, be a slave to Christ. Because in becoming a slave to Christ, there you will find your freedom. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Isn't that the craziest thing? It's a paradox, isn't it? Mm. The minute you lay down your freedom, the minute you learn to submit to something that is outside yourself, the minute you say, okay, all right, fine, I let go of it all, that's the minute you find freedom. You step towards it, isn't it? Because you know, that's when God says, finally, I've broken through. Just a quick example. My idea when I came, before I came to Japan, I thought, all right, I'm going to go to Japan and I'm going to reach the Japanese. I was a youth worker and I had my guitar and I said, okay, I'm going to go to Japan with my guitar. And I puffed myself up. I said, I'm going to go to the park, I'm going to find a park. I'm just going to play my songs, sing worship songs, and somebody's going to come and ask me what those songs mean, and I'm going to proclaim the gospel, and I'm going to get disciples, and it's going to be awesome. So I come to Japan. I didn't have a guitar because I couldn't afford to bring my guitar. I asked my mom, Mom, can you send my guitar? She says, okay. She sends it. It was $400. She said, that's enough. Don't ask for a Christmas present, a birthday present, nothing. That's it. So I get my guitar. Yes. I go to Peace Park. I get there at about dusk when everybody's, you know, kind of walking around, the sun's going down. I find a spot, I start singing my songs, you know, my worship songs. Nobody stops me. Except one lady. She's kind of weird. All black. She's got sunglasses even though the sun's going down. She sits next to me right here and I'm just kind of singing and she's, you know, just kind of, she's freaking me out, you know. And she's just sitting there like, you know, I stop singing for, you know, one song, and she's like, I like. I just keep playing. It was not awesome. And I said, God, come on. This is my vision for Japan. And so I think, okay, I'm going to go another day. So I go another day, and now I'm just discouraged. And I'm freaked out. I'm like, I don't know if people are, maybe I won't go to someplace. I go under a bridge. And I play a guitar under the bridge. Nobody's coming under a guitar or under a bridge to hear some idiot play his guitar and sing songs. And that was the end of my evangelism ministry, park ministry here in Japan. And finally I had to say, God, how do you want to do this? It's not going to work. I thought I had a good idea. What's your idea? And God was one step by step, just breaking me down, saying, Chris, this is not about you. And it's not about how you want to do it and the way that you want to do it. It's about me and the way I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build a ministry in and through you. The minute you submit, the minute you say, God, I'm your slave, not my way, but your way, that's when you discover there's freedom in that. There's a freedom in that. Some of that, it applies in many different ways. And so what does Tychicus do? It says, I'm sending him to you to express purpose that you know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. This is a beautiful thing. So, how does the Lord use Tychicus? Well, Paul, he has two disciples, one named Timothy, one named Titus. Timothy is a pastor in Ephesus. Titus is a pastor in Crete. Paul is about to die. He's going to his death. He knows it. And so he says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to come be with me. I want you to spend the winter with me. And in your place, I'm going to send Tychicus. And then he writes to Titus. He says, Titus, you're out there in Crete. You need a break because all Cretans, they're all crazy and messed up. Come be with me. Spend some time with me, some prayer, some retreat. And in your place, I'm going to send Tychicus. So Tychicus is this man who's so faithful to God, he's willing to do anything. He's not a letter writer, he's not a preacher, but God, if God says, Tychicus, go to Ephesus, I'm going. God tells Paul, send Tychicus to Crete. Tychicus says, I'll go. And the last thing about Tychicus, it's not just here in Colossae that Paul writes about Tychicus. He also writes to Ephesus. Here's Tychicus' main job and his main legacy to us. If without Tychicus, we don't have the letters of Colossians and Ephesians. Because Paul says, Tychicus, take these two letters, Colossians and Ephesians, put them in your jacket, and go deliver these letters. His main job was to be a messenger. Now here's the thing. Paul sends Tychicus, who is a free man, who becomes a slave to Christ, but not by himself, he sends Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, if you know him. All right, this will take about 5 minutes. This is a great story. So Onesimus, he's a slave, literally a slave to a man named Philemon. Philemon came to know Jesus in Ephesus through the ministry of Paul. Paul is preaching, and Philemon hears the truth about Jesus Christ. He says, yes. Philemon goes back to his hometown in Colossae. Philemon is a wealthy man. He has some money. He has enough money to have servants. And because he's a wealthy man, he has a big house. And so his house becomes the church building in which the church meets. You can read about this in the book of Philemon. So kind of like how we're gathered here in a rich man's house, that's how they gathered in Philemon's house back in the day. One of Philemon's servants was a man named Onesimus. Onesimus, for whatever reason, he wanted to run away. And one day he left the house of Philemon. And where do you go if you are a runaway slave in the first century? You go to the biggest city you can find so you can get lost, so they can't hunt you down. You go to Rome. Rome is a place, 2 billion people. You can get lost very easily. You want to find some other bad boys? You want to find some other shady folks? You go there. If you're running for your life, which Onesimus was doing, because if you're a slave and you run away, you can't go back. They're going to kill you. All right? So he goes to Rome, finds some other bad boys, and from some awesome providence of God, he meets Paul, who preaches the gospel, who gives him Christ, who is the man who gave the gospel to his old boss. Philemon. You following? So what happens? Paul, while he's in prison, reaches Onesimus, who is a runaway slave. Onesimus becomes a Christian. And the change is so dramatic. It's so amazing. Paul just grabs Onesimus, and he loves him, and he disciples him, and he pours out his heart into Onesimus. How do we know this? Because in Philemon, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, Onesimus, who is my heart, I send to you. So, Paul pours out his heart, trains him, and disciples him, and he says, Onesimus, the story's not over. You need to go back. Go back to Colossae with Tychicus. Tychicus has two letters, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you the letter you're going to give to your master. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
You're Onesimus? You're coming back to Philemon? That's all you can say. So how does Philemon receive his old runaway slave? Does he kill him? Does he boot him? It's not in scripture. But we have a letter from church history. There was a pastor named Ignatius. And he was a pastor in the city of Smyrna, in that area of Colossae, Laodicea, Ephesus. He was a pastor in the generation following Paul's generation. And he wrote a letter to the church in Colossae, the church that met in Philemon's house. And in that letter, he wrote something about Onesimus. I want to share just an excerpt from you. This is not scripture. This is from church history. An amazing letter. He says this. This is Ignatius, the church father, in a letter to Colossians. Since then, in the name of God, I received your entire congregation in the person of Onesimus, a man of inexpressible love, and your pastor. I beseech you in Christ Jesus to love him and all who are like him. Did you catch that? The runaway slave comes to Christ, goes home to his master, delivers the letter, and becomes his master's pastor. What kind of God do we serve? That he would take someone so down and dirty and put him into a house where he can serve as a pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. So my last bit here is, do we have any Onesimus here? Do we have anybody here who has wandered from the Lord, who has gone his own way, and now they understand, I need to go back. I need to go back to my master, my master's master. I need to go back. I need to come to Jesus once more, and I need to submit my life to him, become his slave, and find my true fear. Is there anybody here who needs that? I would appeal to you, come to Christ today. Come to the Lord Jesus. Finally, I know I titled this Team Ministry. And so let me just say something briefly about that. Paul is surrounded, and here I've given you two people, Tychicus and Onesimus. Tychicus is a great man, a faithful servant. He has everything together. He's strong enough to travel long distance. He's wise enough to get from one place to another. And then we have Onesimus, an idiot by all accounts. Stupid enough to run away from a house where he lived just fine. So we've got the faithful man and the man with a past. And God says, I want you on my team. I've got a job for you, and I've got a job for you. I've got a job for the businessman, I've got a job for the student. I've got a job for the housewife, and I've got a job for the single mother. I've got a job for everybody who wants to be a slave of righteousness. Because I love people, I transform them, I take them out of the muck and in the mire, and I put them on the rock, and I put a song in their mouth. And it's not just my family, but it's my team. And I want to send you out with the good news to change the world. So I don't know if you're Tychicus, I don't know if you're Onesimus, or somewhere in between, but come to the Lord Jesus. Bring yourself to him and submit to him. And I promise you, you will have a freedom you will never know. And you'll be on a team that's going to win. So shall we pray? Dear Lord, we lift these things up to you. Lord, for the people who are here looking for a purpose, looking for the reason, why am I in Japan? I pray that you would reveal that to them, even at this very moment. Let them know that you are here making outsiders insiders, that you are making enemies into friends, that you are making strangers into family members. Do a mighty work today, O God. And then, Lord God, we pray for Cambodia. Lord, the many who are lost, the many who are wandering, the many who are in the dark. And we lift them up to you, asking you to hear their prayers, hear their cries. They're looking for a God. I pray that you would be their God and you would reveal yourself to them, O Lord. Use Daryl. Use Kyle. Use Benjamin. Use the other missionaries around them. Use the videos that he's making. Use the video equipment. Help him, Lord God, to be encouraged. And I pray, Lord God, as he's made an appeal for just cash money, Lord God. I know that money is the last thing on his heart. But Lord, if there's a need, if we have the resources, let us not be stingy. Let us not be a greedy or haughty or hoarders, Lord God. But let us give generously and with great joy, Lord God. Lord, I know that there are many of us, Lord God, who are pinching every penny. But Lord, I pray that you would lead us as a body, as a congregation, to give wisely, Lord. And to give well for your glory and for our good. And we will thank you, Lord, for multiplying our resources. We will thank you, Lord, for bringing many into your kingdom. as we submit to you. We'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to stay seated, but we'll pass around the envelope as we sing our closing song.